It's Joe Pott in for Tom Ackerman as we get set for hour number two of the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning. Glad you are with us here, whether you are online, watching on the stream, all of those things. We're glad that you are along. And Drew Young's with us in the KMOX studio this morning, our producer who has been right here at the with us from the very start. I want to update everyone on a story I did last week here on this program. We had a chance to visit with Coach Vince Bingham. And if you recall, Coach Bingham was coaching an athlete who was in the U.S. Olympic trials. That would be Mason Minershagen. And they were part of the Jefferson County Jets club, track club. And they started a GoFundMe to send Coach Bingham out to Oregon to be part of the trials, to be there with Mason. And I am glad to share with you that that was successful. They raised enough. They got him out to Oregon to cheer on Mason in the pole vault. And so that was awesome. It was great to hear. To be honest, I have not checked to see how Mason did, because I believe she competed Friday. So I don't know how she did. I haven't checked, but I just got word that he did get a chance to get out there. So I'm super glad to hear that. I think that is awesome that everybody stepped up to support Coach Bingham and get him out to Oregon to see Mason compete there at the U.S. Olympic trials. Normally we would have Lutz Vanenstiel coming up here at 11:15. We will not have Lutz. So instead here, when we after the break, we'll come back. We'll hear a little bit from Bradley Carnell, who, of course, spoke to the media after yesterday's game. City dropped a 4-3 decision on the road at Vancouver. It's now been 9 straight games without a win for City. They've had some draws in there, but they only have 3 wins here during the MLS season. And so Bradley Carnell did address the media last night. We will get you a chance to hear some of that, and he'll update some injuries as well. We heard a little bit from Joey Zanaboni, who was able to join us in our first hour, that João Klaus is going to be out for an extended period of time. We did not know that. I did not know that. I knew he was going to miss some games, but Bradley Carnell announced that last night. I had not heard that, but we'll hear that. He'll address some other injury setbacks as well for St. Louis City. And Lutz Vanenstiel is just traveling. They're in the process, of course, coming back from Vancouver, so we don't have a chance to hear from him. But it will be good to catch up and hear a little bit from Bradley Carnell. We will get a chance to hear from the Cards president of baseball operations. That would be John Mozeliak. He will join us in his regular spot at 11:30. And then at 11:45, we'll have Mr. Soccer. Bill McDermott will join us here on the program as we wrap up our second hour. And we'll talk a little bit with him about a number of things. We could talk about St. Louis City. We can talk about the Euros. We can talk about the Copa America and what the U.S. team has to do tomorrow as they get set to face Uruguay, trying still to get out of the group stage. But I'm also going to talk to him about the SIUE St. Louis University series returning to City Park. Both the men and the women are going to play at City Park. This will be the second straight year that these two teams have played at City Park. For the men, it is for the Bronze Boot Trophy that for years and years the series was held downtown at Busch Stadium 2, and still to this day, two of the largest ever single-game crowds in NCAA soccer, including the largest NCAA soccer crowd, was at an SIUE St. Louis University game, a Bronze Boot game, at Busch Stadium 2. And now they have brought that series back to downtown St. Louis, starting with last year when there were just about 9,000 fans at City Park to see that game. And it will return to City Park again this fall. And that's coming up in September. So we'll talk to Bill McDermott about that as well. We'll take a break now. We'll come back. We'll hear a little bit from Bradley Carnell. And we'll keep things going here from the Stiefel Sports Studio. It's the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning. Joe Pott in for Tom Ackerman, coming back on KMOX.
From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
It's Joe Pott in for Tom Ackerman here on this Sports on a Sunday morning as Tom is on vacation. I believe he is out for the rest of this week as well. So he is enjoying a nice family vacation, and we are happy to be able to afford him that time. He certainly deserves that, and we're glad to be able to fill in for him here today. We're at the Stiefel Sports Studio, which today is inside Busch Stadium as we get set for the Cards and the Reds. It'll be the final game of the four-game series between those two coming up here at Busch Stadium. Cards right now on this 10-game homestand are 6-3, a chance to be 7-3 on the homestand, and have not lost a series. They swept the Giants. They took 2 of 3 from the Braves. This would give them a split should they get a win here this afternoon against the Cincinnati Reds. So it's been a couple of weird games here in this Reds series. Yesterday, they gave up a bunch of runs. It was a 9-4 game. It was 11-4 on Friday, and then you get a 1-0 game. 11-4 on Thursday. You get a 1-0 game on Friday. So a little bit odd, and we'll see how it plays out today with Lance Lynn on the mound. Want to talk some soccer, have talked some soccer. This is normally the spot we would be visited by Lutz Pfannenstiel, the sporting director for St. Louis City, but he is traveling back with the team from Vancouver, so we do not have him today. We are going to get you to a little bit of the post-game press conference from Bradley Carnell last night. So City played at Vancouver. They had a 2-0 lead early in the game. Blom scored in the 7th minute. Leuven converted a penalty kick in the 12th minute, and it was a 2-0 game. Vancouver came back just before half to get a goal from Brian White in the 37th minute. That made it a 2-1 game at half. Well, White scored twice in the first 15 minutes of the second half, in the 54th, again in the 61st. That put Vancouver up 3-2. It stayed that way until the 90th. Vancouver went up 4-2 with a goal in the in stoppage time, and then Thorsson came back to get one in stoppage time for City. So it finished 4-3 last night, and a tough game as mentioned there. They played fairly well in that game, as you heard, if you heard Joey Zanaboni on with us in our first hour. The shots were, to Vancouver's credit, 14-10. The possession just a little bit better for Vancouver, but for the most part, they played really well. They just couldn't finish, and they couldn't keep Brian White off the score sheet. So, again, Bradley Carnell spoke after the game. Let's take you there. He starts by addressing Tim Parker and his injury.
Tim Parker managing, you know, just a groin that he's been feeling over the last couple of days and playing on the turf. He wouldn't have been able to last the whole game tonight. I'm not sure if he would have managed the game. So, you know, this just crept up on us through the week. We just had to manage that. Josh Yarrow yesterday in some tactical walkthrough reps took a knock to the head and he's under concussion protocol. So, you know, hopefully he presents well over the next couple of days. It's really unfortunate, you know, and we had to throw in some outside backs in the center, you know, Anthony and Jake Nowitzki. And again, we go 2-0 up, you know, and we should never walk away here with anything less than a point. So, you know, some really good moments from us, some really good performances from us individually. You know, just thought we let ourselves down at a few times. So, yeah, that's what we're left with.
And then, you know, talking a little bit about that start, you kind of jump down their throats in the early moments, and then Shabulu Blom gets rewarded with that shot from outside the box. I guess, what were your early thoughts, you know, seeing those early results and then seeing the rest of the game play out?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we come up with a game plan. We knew exactly what we're going to expect, and we saw exactly that, that's what got us in the game and helped us get 2-0 up. But it also helped what got them in the game as well. So some long balls, direct balls, second play of Brian White. And then when Fafa Picot comes on the game, or Ryan Gould picks up those second balls, then, you know, if you don't win that first touch or that first contact, and then, yeah, you'll end up conceding the goals that you do. So, you know, really bitter moments for us on the back line. And unfortunately, you know, yeah, these guys, I put them in a tough spot. And I, you know, hold my hand up, take responsibility for that. You know, we knew we were short-staffed and we were dealt a hand. So, you know, we have to draw some positives out of that and still be critical as a group, the way we conceded some of these goals and some of the way, it looked. So, yeah, again, it's two separate sides or two sides of the coin to these feelings at the moment.
Next, we'll go to Steve Overbay.
Coach, great 20 minutes. Did they just eventually wear you down, or what flipped the switch in their manner? Because you guys were razor sharp from the start.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're a good team who kind of stretch you vertically. So we had to keep our compact shape, and that we did for quite a while. But I think the randomness of their goals, right? So I think we have moments to clear the ball on the back line, you know, and I'm not talking about personnel, but, you know, I'm just thinking we have some principles built into play on how to deal with long balls. And I don't think we dealt with the long balls very well. We knew that was going to be a game plan of theirs. So we had deeper pickup points. And, you know, for those 20 minutes, we do a really good job of it. And I would say sporadically through the rest of the game, we do a really good job of it. Yeah, I think just the way we're going in, the deflection beats us. The spin of the turf gets the ball inside the net, inside that post from Ryan in the first half. And then the Brian White goals, you know, of the back heel and balls are behind him. I don't think he knows anything about that. But, you know, those are the type of goals you concede when you're in this moment that we're in as a group right now. So, you know, we can feel sorry for ourselves, or we just have to move on because Wednesday is a must win against San Jose.
Roman Berkey okay, or is this just a minutes thing to give him a little breather?
Yeah, I mean, he's been going through some management in terms of his knee. So, yeah, nothing critical, nothing major. We knew this game was coming up, and we knew this was the right moment to give him a slight pause with the schedule coming up over the next couple of weeks. So, you know, this was a planned load management issue.
Anybody else before we go to Hart? Go ahead, Hart.
Yeah.
Hi, Coach. How did your team get out of this hole defensively, knowing that you have a lot more games coming up, one on Wednesday, and you still got guys that are banged up? And
sure.
And players as well.
Sure. I thought the young players did great. You know, I thought the young players really made the team proud, and you could see some good performances. Nukvi gets a goal as well now. You know, he's been getting in and around the box, making good runs, getting in the final third. So, you know, and then he gets a goal, and to score three goals away from home, we've done it a few times now. You know, we did it in Miami, came away with a point on the road here. We score three goals and we don't walk away with anything. So the guys are bitterly upset. You know, we know we have to tighten up a few issues. We know we banged up. We know, you know, we're redlining a couple of players week in and week out and pushing them through. But these are some of the things we have to get through as a group. You know, there's nothing that we can just now, you know, rest on our laurels and think we can just get through these moments. It's a tough stretch for the team, for sure. But again, we see some really good moments and we have to live off of those moments and we have to grow from those moments, right? So for sure, we take two jabs to the gut and we get goals conceded, like I said, in a fashion that I've never seen before. But these are exactly the moments you concede when you're going through these moments, right? So, you know, we're critical inside there between the four walls. And again, yeah, we're not happy as a group right now. And we're the only ones who can get us out of this.
Pretty honest assessment, obviously, there from Bradley Carnell, just even finishing up with, you know, not happy as a group and kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, they weren't going to put it out there publicly, but there obviously are, you know, tougher discussions going on, as he said, within the four walls. But I mean, I don't know what else you would expect. It was good to get the updates on some of those guys. But I think otherwise, I think if Bradley Carnell came out right and he was like, no, we're going to be fine. And was just all rosy, like, you don't want that. And that would not be truthful. And I don't think anybody would buy that. A team that hasn't won a game in its last nine games. They've had some draws in there, but they've had some disappointing performances. And I would put last night in that bucket, a disappointing performance, just because you do get up by a couple of goals early. And I understand, as Joey Zanaboni said, that it's tough to kind of sit back and defend for all that time. But the point is that they had a chance that they could have come away with 3 points in that match, and they didn't. You think about the Colorado performance here at City Park, and as mentioned, they're going to go to Colorado coming up here in just a bit on July 7th. So that's right around the corner, and that's a game that they have to be looking at, thinking they need to have a better showing. We need to put it on Colorado, as Colorado did when it came to St. Louis just a few weeks ago. So good to hear from Bradley Carnell in place of Lutz Vanenstiel that we could not catch up with today. We will catch up with the Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. That's coming up next. Joe Pott from the Stiefel Sports Studio here at Busch Stadium. It's sports on a Sunday morning, and we're coming back after the break on KMOX. It's Joe Pott in for Tom Ackerman here as we welcome you back to our Stiefel Sports Studio at Busch Stadium this morning. Cardinals and the Reds are getting set to wrap up their four-game series here at Busch Stadium. And we're joined, as usual, here in this spot by the Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
I am doing well, and I appreciate you, as always, taking some time for us to chat here on this Sunday spot. I want to start a little bit of obviously sad news. We lost another Hall of Famer this past week, and of course, one with strong ties to the Cardinals, and that would be Orlando Cepeda. And it's tough as we continue to kind of experience this, as we did with Willie Mays a couple of weeks ago. But I almost feel like in this time, in the era that we're in, there's so much ways that we have to kind of see some of that video footage, to hear from him. We used some clips from him yesterday on our show. And just to preserve that, I think, because it's important, obviously, to preserve that and to be able to remember those guys that came before and had an impact on this game.
You know, I think the greatest thing about baseball is really the history of the game, and to have the connection to these Hall of Famers that had connection to the Cardinals is very special. And, you know, Mr. Cepeda meant a lot to the game of baseball. And, you know, it's unfortunate that his passing, but this is sort of like life and time. And, you know, as we lost Willie Mays a few weeks back, you know, we were all sort of sitting around one day, just sort of talking about, like, you know, who are still the great living legends of our game, or the greatest players still alive at the moment. And it was just a really interesting conversation. And of course, his name did come up. But, you know, the game has produced a lot of great players, but has lost a lot of great players, especially recently. And so, obviously, our condolences to his family and friends, and he'll certainly be missed.
Cards President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak with us. I'll go here because this is where I started with Ollie this morning, just talking about yesterday. And obviously the best part of yesterday was watching Gordon Graceffo make his major league debut and have a lot of success yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, obviously, you know, he was brought up here to give us some length if we needed it, and he certainly lived up to it. And, you know, I think the biggest takeaway for me on what he was able to do is, I think when a young player comes up here and they get their opportunity, some guys struggle right away. Some guys understand that the game moves at a different pace than at the minor league level. But what was really impressive about Mr. Graceffo yesterday was his ability to show that his stuff's good enough to pitch here. And he does not need to doubt that. So his confidence in what he's able to do should be soaring. And, you know, my hope is he can go back down to Memphis, build on it. But, you know, what he has to understand now is he's on the roster, and that phone can ring at any time. And he needs to make sure that he's prepared for when he gets back up here. Obviously, when a player gets selected to a major league roster, their goal is to find a way to stay here forever. And, you know, unfortunately, in the case of pitchers, sometimes those decisions are because we need innings and we need to protect. And, you know, these decisions are always hard when someone goes out there and pitches as well as he did. Then to have to option is not fun. But, you know, we knew we wouldn't be able to pitch him for the next 3 or 4 days. So we just need to add a fresh arm, and that's the tough part about the big leagues. But the takeaway here is he's good enough, and he now knows it.
So the Cardinals did make the move, as you mentioned, optioning back Graceffo to Memphis. Jacob Osiokovic comes up from Memphis, the right-hander. He was a Triple-A selection in a Rule 5 draft from Colorado. What was it about Osiokovic that you thought that this was the right guy to come up at this point?
Yeah, so Jacob has a very interesting profile. You know, close to a 40% strikeout rate, close to a 15% walk rate, but that ratio of a 25% gap is pretty good. So, you know, as we started to think about guys that we had available that were fresh, we decided we would like to see what we have here. Obviously, his story is unique, was a position player. Decided to try to pitch, We had him in our organization a couple of years ago, and then was injured and then stepped away for a couple of years. And now this past offseason, John Vooch and Gary LaRock gave me a call and said, hey, any chance we could bring him back to see what we have? And I said, sure. And so they did that. They gave him that opportunity. And you know, he's a big, strong, plus-plus fastball kind of guy, so velo. And you know, now I'm getting a chance in the big league. So it's a really cool story. And, you know, hopefully he impresses and he can be someone that that we can take advantage of. And hopefully, you know, he has a good career with us.
And he's an older player. So it's a little bit different. It's not a young rookie player. He has not yet made his major league debut, but and when he does so, he'll be, you know, one of the older ones. But as a 30-year-old, you're getting a little bit of a different type of player in that bullpen, aren't you?
We are. And I mean, there's definitely some unknowns just because of not pitching a lot in the last couple of years, being a converted position player to pitcher. So I do feel like, you know, we're going into this with our eyes wide open, but, you know, it's a great opportunity, great story, and hopefully he runs with it.
John Mozeliak with us here on the Graybart Sports on a Sunday morning. Lars Nootbaar has started his rehab assignment, hit a solo home run last night playing with Springfield. What is it? What are some of the milestones or cornerstones that you're looking for in Lars as he continues to progress in his rehab?
Well, typically it's usually two pronged when you have somebody on a rehab. One is, you know, they're checking the box each day that the initial injury they had is recovered and they feel good about where they are physically. And then the other part you do want to see is just the ability to perform. So making sure that the player's timing, in his particular case, at the plate is dialed in. What you don't want to do is have somebody rush back here and then feel like they're just not ready to face major league pitchers. So ultimately, that's where you have to trust the player and get their feedback before making those decisions. But my hope is, you know, over the next anywhere from 4 to 7 days, he feels like he gets that timing back, and then we'll see him back here in St. Louis.
Is there any update that you can share on Tommy Edman? I know that he had a little bit of a setback with an ankle issue in addition to rehabbing that wrist.
Yeah, the update there is he's definitely moving better on that ankle, so that's encouraging. And as far as what this week looks like for him, we're still discussing whether it's, you know, trying to face some live BP somewhere or jumping into a rehab start at some point. So we are just navigating that, and hopefully we have an answer for the public either later today or tomorrow.
When you say live BP, are you talking up with the team? Are you talking at in Florida? Where is that happening?
Not sure, but where we can. It's hard to line up pitching this time of year, so we're just trying to decide where we have some depth.
The Cardinals are getting set to face the Reds here this afternoon. As I mentioned, some odd games, obviously, in this Reds series. But the truth of the matter is, you've got a chance to finish off this homestand. A win today would make it a 7-3 homestand. Cardinals still have the second most wins since Mother's Day, which is May 12th. The best winning percentage in the National League in that time. This has been a really good stretch for the Cardinals, give or take a couple of those games, like mentioned, against the Reds.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday was, you know, a tough one, right? When it comes down to a tough play and you know, still had some opportunities to score runs and you know, just didn't get it done. And obviously Friday night felt more like a beat down. But, you know, it's baseball, and there's going to be nights like that. You know, hopefully today we can have a great performance out of Lance Lynn and gain a little momentum back and win the ball game. And if so, we'll take the split and move on. But overall, I feel like, you know, the club is seeing some encouragement, feel good about where we're at. And, you know, during a season like this, you just got to keep it going.
Well, John, I always appreciate the time on Sunday morning. I know the fans appreciate being able to hear from you each and every Sunday morning. Obviously, wish the best for today's game, and then enjoy a nice off day tomorrow before a road trip begins. And as always, we appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you.
John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, with us here on the Gray Bar. Sports on a Sunday morning. We'll talk some soccer on the other side of the break. Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott, is coming up. It is Sports on a Sunday morning, and we are coming back on Camo X.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
It's Joe Pott in for Tom Ackerman as we welcome you back to the Stifel Sports Studio. We're at Busch Stadium as the Cards and the Reds are getting set to finish off their series here coming up this afternoon. But right now, here on the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning, we're going to talk with Mr. Soccer. That would be Bill McDermott, who joins us now. And always great to catch up with Bill McDermott. Bill, how are you? What's happening?
Doing fine, Joe. How you been? How do you like this summer of soccer?
It is fantastic, and that's why we wanted to catch up and have a chance to visit with you here, because there is so much to talk about. I want to mention right off the top, too, that Bill has a brand new podcast on Odyssey, Show Me Soccer. Works with Dan Betlock and Mike Rudolph. Drew Young, our producer, is the helping out to produce that podcast. I'm sure that that has been fun for you, a good project for you.
It has, Joe, and the name should indicate what we're trying to obtain, and that is some listeners who may be interested in the overall period of how we got here, the history of the sport. We're going to lean on the overall sport, obviously, international, national, anything that involves something that might be interesting to the listeners, but we're going to cater in particular to the very rich history of St. Louis soccer and how we got to where we are. So we'll have a weekly guest pertaining to the history of St. Louis soccer, and then we'll cover different aspects of it. But Drew has been doing a fabulous job of being our producer. So it's so far so good. So check it out. Show Me Soccer when you get a chance.
I think that I feel like that most sports fans, and it's not limited to soccer, I literally just talked with John Mozeliak, the Cards president of baseball operations, and he talked about so much in the history of baseball and that, you know, to kind of relive that and discuss that and compare eras. But obviously there's so much to do that with soccer as well. And there's a lot you can do with just the St. Louis aspect of soccer and all of the history that is contained there within.
You know what, Joe, you make an excellent point, because I think strongly that the two pillars of sport in our community, with reference to longevity and giving the history of our city, giving some pedigree to that history, are the sports of baseball and soccer. In particular, for soccer, dating back to 1875 when the first game was played. And when we go down to City Park, Arthur Herman Stadium, or the St. Louis Soccer Park, it's not just those games that we are watching. We are watching the overall history, how it developed and made St. Louis what it is. And that is a city that early on adopted the world's game, made it its own, and got ready for what is now a changing America because of the acceptance of the sport of soccer.
And Bill, another one of the chapters in that history is the college game, of course, and just announced this past week that St. Louis University and SIUE will be back at City Park September 8th, a doubleheader, the women and the men. They did this for the first time last September. They're going to try to make it even a bigger event. And, of course, that's a huge part of history of soccer in St. Louis. But obviously, from my standpoint, so great to see this game and this rivalry back at City Park again.
Very much so. And the reason, Joe, that we love to watch this, we're entertained by it first and foremost, mostly is that a goodly number of the players come from the St. Louis area. And how many times have we talked about this on the show? St. Louisans love their St. Louisans. Now, it's so not true. Like the early 70s or late 70s when, in essence, 95% of the players from both teams were from St. Louis. The game's dramatically changed since then. But nonetheless, it has that existing equity in the overall history of the sport in our city, as does the history of intercollegiate soccer, and not with just St. Louis U and SIU, but Quincy and UMSL and Rockhurst and so many other schools neighboring to St. Louis U and SIU in the Midwest area who really had St. Louis players at the birth of their respective soccer program. So this tradition continues on and on. And for these young players to be able to play a new venue, a home venue for the professional team, that's just further impetus for them to perform.
It's Bill McDermott, Mr. Soccer, with us here on Sports on a Sunday Morning. Let's talk about Copa America and the U.S. men. They'll play tomorrow against Uruguay, trying to get out of the group stage into the knockout rounds. They were obviously dealt a blow, Bill, against Panama. They lose 2-1 after Tim Weah gets the red card. What are you looking for tomorrow night from the men? What do they have to do to get out of this group stage to advance?
Well, first of all, what I'm looking for is how a team is going to rebound, a team that represents their country, a team, a young team, a very young team. And Greg Berhalter has always said, if we don't do anything at the Qatar World Cup, get ready for 2026. And everybody has been leaning on that, Joe, because the young players that you see playing right now, those are the players that you're going to see in 2026. It's not going to dramatically change. All of a sudden, Alfredo Di Stefano is not going to show up for the United States. Brian McBride no longer plays for the United States. So what you see now is what you're going to continue to watch. It is imperative and mandatory that they win against Uruguay to get out of and into the next round, because you're playing Copa America at home and you're playing at venues which are going to be used for the 2026 World Cup. That's why this tournament is in the United States this year. A dress rehearsal for all the respective venues that are going to be used in 2026. But when they line up tomorrow night at Arrowhead Stadium, by the way, this is a wonderful move by FIFA to award what Lamar Hunt and his family have done for the sport of soccer in the United States, not just MLS related, but NASL as well, to award him, their family, the name Hunt, a World Cup venue in 2026. It didn't happen in 1994, but it's happening justifiably now. So it is up to the United States to step up and perform against a former World Cup champion, and they'll have an excellent environment in which to do that.
And look, this does feel like, you mentioned it, a dress rehearsal for the 2026 World Cup, but it also feels like another turning point for U.S. soccer. 1994 was, it obviously got us to Major League Soccer and professional soccer.
Yes.
Back in the U.S., and the U.S. is gearing up for 2026. The headquarters are relocating. They're building a new training facility. This does feel like another one of those turning points, doesn't it?
Without any question, Joe. There are certain dates that are really relevant in the history of the sport in our country. You just referenced one of them. One of them is June 17th, 1994. That was the date of the original, the inaugural game for 94, when Germany played Bolivia at Soldier Field, when everybody around the world, everyone, said, why is it going to the United States? They don't even have an existing league. They have no pedigree in the World Cup. Well, it turns out that the average attendance was 68,991. Another one of those tremendous dates. This also references the Hunt family. May 15th, 1999, the opening of the very first, the inaugural soccer-specific stadium in Columbus. So, yes, Joe, when the World Cup comes to your country, first of all, the World Cup in the United States in 1994, there is no bigger event in the history of the sport in our country. When the World Cup comes to your country, that means everything. And it's going to be even bigger yet in 2026, because it's being tri-hosted, if indeed that's a word. There'll be 48 teams, people for coming all over the world to the United States to watch the world's game. So, yes, you're 100% right. Huge date for American soccer and the continued growth and acceptance of the sport.
Well, I really appreciate you being able to catch up with us and us being able
sure,
to catch
Joe.
Up with you here on this Sunday morning, Bill. I know it was short notice, but it's always great to chat with you.
Likewise.
I believe if everything is said, you and I are going to have a chance to be together to call that game, those games between St. Louis University and SIUE. That's at least my hope. And if not then, before then, I hope to catch up soon.
Yes, sir, Joe. Catch up with you.
That's Bill McDermott.
At a game or at the Mighty Mox, one
yes,
of the two.
Yes, exactly, right, exactly. Joe. That is Bill McDermott, Mr. Soccer. You are not going to find a more knowledgeable soccer pundit in St. Louis, certainly. And probably I would challenge that across the country. I've had a chance to work with him on games. Obviously, we've done this several times where we've had a chance to visit and talk about soccer and chat about different things. But to work with him on a game in a game environment and you could hear it there, the recall of dates and numbers and specifics from United States soccer, from world soccer, and certainly from St. Louis soccer, it's unmatched. And it's fun to catch up with him and chat about that because it is a summer soccer. We didn't even get into the Euros. Because we were chatting about other stuff. His podcast, by the way, Show Me Soccer. It's him, Dan Betlock, and Mike Rudolph. And you can find that on the Odyssey app. And, man, if you're a soccer fan at all, I can't imagine that you wouldn't want to check that out and listen to some more of that wide-ranging knowledge and historical presence that he brings to that and to any setting that he is in. So thanks to Bill McDermott. As always, thanks to our regular guests, which include Oliver Marmol, the Cardinals manager, includes John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations. And we had a surprise a couple of visits today. Joey Zanaboni stopped by, chatted on the phone. We had Benji Molina, who chatted with us in studio here at Busch Stadium. And you can listen to all of that again at the Odyssey app. You can rewind, go listen to that, and enjoy all of what we just did here on the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning. Our Steeple Sports studio today has been Busch Stadium. Drew Young has been our producer, and he has really been the guy, all that legwork, getting all those guests together for us and making us sound great here on this Sunday morning. I'm Joe Pott, in for Tom Ackerman. I'm not going anywhere. I've got Cardinals pregame coverage coming up for you after the top of the hour. Keep it here on KMOX.